What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, what I've got is that Jimmy Kimmel will be back as host of the 95th Oscars in 2023. Oh, the nice. Academy Awards showrunners announced yesterday. It marks the late night star's third time hosting the ceremony, which he last did 5 years ago. And that was the year of the whole chaotic envelope gate thing where they announced
With, what's
it was
that,
Moonlight.
What was the name of that movie? Moonlight. Yeah.
For Best Picture.
I saw that movie on a plane.
I've never seen it. Is it good?
Oh, man. It's really good, but also very, like, hard. Like, it's a hard movie.
Intense?
That's not one of those movies you can see more than once, I think.
Okay. I'll put it on my list.
But it is an excellent film. There's no question.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel said of the decision, the announcement, he said, "Being invited to host the Oscars for a third time is either a great honor or a trap. Either way, I'm grateful to the Academy for asking me so quickly after everyone good said no." And the Oscars in 2023 will air Sunday, March 12th on ABC.
Wonder if my man, Will Smith, is going to be in the house.
It's a great question.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I wonder if Will Smith is going to tell Jimmy Kimmel, "Keep my wife's name out your damn mouth."
I mean, that's definitely the opening joke, right?
Right.
Is Will Smith, 1,000%.
Right, and then Will Smith gets mad again. He's like, "I don't know what happened. I just snapped again. I don't know. I'm not a violent person. I just had to walk on stage and smack Jimmy in the head."
I read something recently that said they're not planning to address it whatsoever.
Oh, dude, it would be great if Will Smith went after Jimmy Kimmel and then Chris Rock came from out of nowhere. And just, like, off the top ring rope.
Right, like WWE,
kind of
like, "Oh, my
block.
God, they're playing Chris Rock's music!"
Right, Chris Rock comes out and takes care of Bidnit.
Baby,
dope.
Cappy, speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, are you going to go to the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl?
That depends.
And
are
so
you calling
far.
It? Are you calling it this year?
I don't know. My guess is probably.
Okay. I'd go.
We just got the schedule for that today. It's
Yep.
The 17th.
December 17th. Mm-hmm. It was December 17th last year, too.
17th. But
except this year, it's not at night. It's during the day, which is nice.
No, I'm not going.
Why not?
I got something going on that day.
You do?
Yeah.
What do you have going on December 17th already?
I know. It's kind of weird, isn't it? I know. It's weird. But people are... My schedule is filling up with holiday parties.
On December 17th?
Correct. It's a Saturday afternoon.
No, I mean, is it? Yeah, it is a Saturday afternoon. You're right.
Yeah. My schedule's filling up, man. If you need me, you got to get to me early. I'm in demand.
Oh, so Jimmy Kimmel can't have you at his bowl game?
He calls me and asks me, I'll cancel my plans and I'll come.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing that. Although
he made
a great sandwich for the game last year. I hope it's the same sandwich.
So well, it'd be good. Nice to chat with him, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Jimmy, come on the show. We'll chat with you.
It'd be great to have Jimmy on the show. I admire the hell out of the guy. I mean, to start off where he did in LA radio and... You know, become the TV star that he's become, and he was not a stand-up comedian. You know what I mean?
No.
So I just admire
he's
the
funny,
hell out
though.
Of the guy.
He was definitely funny. There's no doubt.
Jimmy, would love to have you, pal. And you know, there's one phone call I can make, George, to make this all happen. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can Hey King someone.
But the last time I Hey King this guy, he's like, "Hold on, let me call him and ask him." And then Jimmy was on the other line. He's like, "No, I'm not doing that." I'm like, "Hey, come on, man, give me a freaking break." He's a sports fan, and he's a radio guy. Get your ass on the radio.
Well, no, if he said he's not doing that, then forget it.
Well, I'll try again this year.
I mean, okay, but it didn't seem like he was that interested the last time. It's totally fine.
You see that picture of me in the Crown the other day? Speaking
I did.
Of Hey King?
Yeah. Yeah.
Looked pretty real, didn't it?
If
what was
Vince
that
Vaughn
about?
Wants to come on, I know he listens to the station. Vince, we'll take you whenever you want, bro.
Vince Vaughn should become a regular on this show, and I will accept nothing less.
You'll accept nothing less?
That's right.
Okay.
Vince Vaughn should be a regular on this show.
Actually, there is someone close to the show that ran into Vince Vaughn recently and talked about this station, actually.
Who was it? Was it Crypto Ray?
No.
Was it Big
Crypto
E?
Crypto Ray, no.
Was it Dead Meow 5?
No.
Was it Beto Duran?
I don't know.
Was it Beto and Whittier?
Maybe.
Have I missed anybody?
Yeah.
Was it Kitty Cat?
Yeah.
Can't believe you wouldn't take Kitty Cat's call today because you didn't have the energy.
Oh, Johnny Loaiza
didn't even call.
Yeah, Johnny Loaiza, by the way, with the funniest tweet in the Sedano Cap Circle of Trust. You can become part of the Sedano Cap Circle of Trust in the community section on Twitter. Just search Sedano and Cap and you'll find it. Johnny Loaiza says, "Whenever I get invited to an Angels game, I wear this t-shirt." And the t-shirt is obviously in Dodger blue. And it says, "The Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles."
Wow. What does it say?
It says the Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles. That's funny. Tommy has just texted us. Kimmel Bowl is a sponsor. We'll be giving away tickets. I know. We did that last year. We're talking about actually having Kimmel on.
I want Kimmel on. And yeah, I mean, again, it's December 17th. My schedule has already been filling up with holiday parties. Yeah. So the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, I'm booked up, man.
I was going to say we could do a Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust meetup for the game or something. But
I would love to do that. That would be wonderful.
But now you have a holiday party. We can't do that.
Maybe they can move the game a little later.
No, they're not moving the game.
It's at like
ABC.
2 o'clock. Like, what are you going to be doing that early? Like, who has a holiday party?
It's 12:30, not even 2 o'clock.
Yeah, who has a holiday party?
Who's doing a holiday party at 12:30?
Right.
You guys want me to tell you the truth?
Yeah. What?
You want the God's honest truth right now?
Yes.
Sure, Cap.
It's the CappyCast holiday party.
Oh.
Well, you should
and it's at 12:30?
Yeah, it's on a big yacht, like a 150-foot like yacht.
Wow.
Called the Yacht America. You take like 75 people out there and you show them a good time.
Wow, look at you, CappyCast.
Isn't it kind of cold to be going on a yacht?
Oh, no, it's incredible. It's a whale-watching yacht. It's the most amazing thing you've ever been on. You guys should come. You're all invited.
Well, Sedano just said he's going
to
be calling the game.
Yeah, thing. And
he'll be calling
the game,
yeah.
There's that, too.
Yeah, I'll be watching the game.
Yeah.
On the yacht.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. By the way, Thursday, though, we will be in Downey at Bastards Canteen for our Veterans Day event that we do every year. It is the 10th year running. They're going to be down there in Downey, as I mentioned. So come down, hang out with us. We'll be there from 1 to 7, Mason and Ireland into us. Bastards Canteen is 11045 Downey Avenue, and they'll be closing down the street between 2nd and 3rd Ave. So come down, hang out. And last year, Cappy got his nose waxed in front
of him. Yeah, I was going to ask you, George. I mean, doesn't this remind you, like, it was a year ago that those young ladies who were like beauty school girls, they came and they showed up and they waxed my nostrils.
Yeah. Do you want them to do it again?
I don't know. I'm looking for something a little different.
The yearly
this year.
Wax we can
yeah,
do?
Let's do something else. Let's wax it.
You want to wax something else in your body?
Yeah, maybe my back.
Is it hairy?
It's not like grossly, like disgustingly hairy, but like it's enough that I'd love to have it waxed.
Mm. Yeah, but I don't know if that hurts like that.
You know, when that whole broadcast was over last year, the girls who waxed my nose, they were like, oh, this guy, he must be the man. Like he's the guy around here, you know? So they were like, they came up to me and they're like, hey, so you got any of these like VIP tickets for this event that's going on here? And I'm like looking around for you, George. I'm like, I don't, but he does. You know, I was looking for you and you were nowhere to be found because they were pulling a Hay King on the spot and I was looking for a little help.
Yeah.
Got nothing. Yeah. Had no juice for those girls last year.
Yeah. You got juice this year?
Well, I'm gonna pre-plan.
Oh.
Anybody who does any body work for me at Bastards Canteen, I'll have VIP tickets for you.
Maybe, Cap, you should have your eyebrows microbladed because you've been talking about that for a while.
Yeah, my eyebrows are very, I just don't have any, actually.
Right. You get them microbladed, and it's like a 2-year temporary tattoo that looks like eyebrows.
I don't know if I want the. I don't know if I want the ink.
It's great.
Yeah, you got them.
Mm-hmm.
How they look?
I mean, I feel like my eyebrows look great. I don't have to put any eyebrow makeup on them or anything. They're just there.
I think I'm better served just taking like a black Sharpie.
I mean, you could always get them dyed. You could try it. Then, if you like it, you could get the microblading. The dye lasts for like 2 weeks, maybe.
Mm. This problem is I got no eyebrow or eye. Yeah,
well, the point of it is it also tints your skin underneath the hair, so it looks that comes up a little. Like that comes up over, I don't know, maybe a week or so, and so it makes them appear darker because it tints your skin too.
George, should I go do this? Like when you're getting your Botox, I should get this done at the same time.
I don't get Botox, but you could if you'd like.
Okay.
Well, Botox is administered by a nurse, like a nurse practitioner, whereas anybody can dye your eyebrows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe I should get some Botox shots.
I mean, those cost money, though, right?
Oh.
We can't just get freebies.
I mean, we did have like a sponsor, like Dr. Grant Stevens from Marina Med Spa. Like they used to advertise with us. Maybe you could call him up, see if he'll come back around.
I don't believe he's on the station anymore.
Yeah, he's not, but he was. So maybe, you know. Maybe they need someone like Cappy to be like, hey, let's get back on the air there.
Hey, everybody, it's Cap. You have a problem where you don't have any eyebrows? I got that same problem, and I got the solution for you. It's Dr. Whatever.
Well, those are two different things, Cap.
Call him.
Two different things.
He's going to take care of your eyebrows.
Two different things.
Oh, you get it. I'll speak on eyebrows.
Yeah. Anyhow, Cappy.
Yeah. Look what the Lakers have done to you. Look what the Lakers have done to you today. Look what they've done to you.
Yeah, they've
look
what you've become. Oh, Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Yep, that's what you were going to get to.
Yeah. He said, quote, "It's hard to watch sometimes. Just watching the games, it looks like there's no basketball over there. It's just plain pickup. It's hard to watch sometimes. So from me to him," LeBron, he's talking about, "just get the team together. And I just want to see that spark in him again." He's talking about LeBron. "I don't think I see the spark in Bron. So hopefully he can get it back."
Wow. I mean, wow. Kentavious Caldwell Pope, KCP. Mm-hmm. If I was a reporter and I walked up to KCP, I'd ask him about all this stuff. And as he was saying it, I'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe he's actually saying this to me. And it was said to Dave McMiniman, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, to say that about LeBron James, you must obviously know the relationship that you had with him is long over with. Because once LeBron reads what KCP had to say, he's out. He is excommunicated.
Unless he agrees with him.
You think LeBron agrees that he's playing with no spark?
I told you at the beginning of the season, I don't see. I can tell LeBron doesn't seem to believe this team is actually good.
Okay, but does that mean LeBron is playing with no spark? I mean, isn't LeBron giving everything he's got humanly possible to will this team to victory? Isn't he?
I think he looks at times. What's the word I'm looking for? I think he looks at times just frustrated, overly frustrated. I don't think that has to do with, like, effort. I don't know if that, when he's talking about spark, I don't necessarily think he means effort. I think he just means just the, what's the word I'm looking for? Not like,
How about this? You ready? How about esprit de corps?
A what?
Esprit de corps.
What the hell is that?
That's German for, I don't know.
What?
Come on, esprit de corps, man.
Like, where did you get this? Did you look in the thesaurus or something?
No, you guys have never heard of esprit de corps?
No.
Is there anybody tuning in this afternoon on 710 ESPN all throughout Los Angeles? It's rainy. It's cold. It's freaking dark like it's midnight. It's election night. Is there anybody out there who knows what I'm talking about?
Spell
esprit
it.
Esprit de corps?
Spell it.
E?
Oh, is it E-S-P-R-I-T?
Here's what I would say. Actually, here I figured out what I wanted
to say. You're right, Cap. You're right. You're right.
What does it mean?
E-S-P-R-I-T-D-E, corpse. That's how it's spelled. It says, the common spirit existing in the members of a group and inspiring enthusiasm, devotion, and strong regard for honor of the group. You're right.
See,
good job,
see?
Cap.
Thank you.
The troops showed great esprit de corps.
Yeah, I don't think it's German. I think I screwed that part of it up.
Yeah,
but
I think it's French.
Yeah, definitely not German.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, when he says spark, I think he means more like a liveliness, or like a, you know, like an enthusiasm. Right.
Right.
That's
like
what I think he's referring to. I don't think he's referring to effort.
No. Let me tell you though. You know where Charles Barkley may have gotten it wrong at halftime of the very first game of this year, when he said to everybody that the Lakers have sucked from Russell Westbrook, his love of basketball and his love of life. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Lakers have actually sucked the love of basketball out of LeBron James.
Maybe.
Maybe LeBron James is not loving playing basketball anymore, but he's signed. He's making a fortune. His whole business is based in L.A. He knows he's not going to win a championship, certainly not this year, maybe not ever again. And you know what? I'll collect my points. I'll pass Kareem. I'm that close to it. I'll hang on, and maybe I'll be able to play with Bronny a little bit. And you know what? I'll retire in L.A. because, you know, that's what I did. I played for the Lakers for all these years. Build me a statue. Let's go. Hurry up. Chop, chop. I mean,
you make it seem... All right, let's discuss this on the other side. I have too many things to say, and we're way over the break already. So let's just discuss this next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Woke up this morning. Great show. There's a lot of HBO shows that I love. I mean, obviously, we talk about House of the Dragon here all the time now. I'm already ready for next season.
You know, my favorite HBO series, though,
is
and
what?
Chris mentioned it.
Oz?
Oz.
Oz is very good.
I mean, in the late 90s, Oz was like my favorite show.
What's it about? I've never seen it.
So it's about these guys that go to prison, and it really starts off with this white guy. His name is Tobias Beecher. How the hell do I know this? And Tobias is driving down the road, and he's a lawyer, and he's probably like in his mid-30s, and he's a dad, and he's a husband, and he's living a great white guy life, and he hits a girl and kills her, and he has a drunk driving accident, and Tobias goes to a maximum security prison. And everybody in there, rapists, murderers, drug dealers, I mean, the worst of the worst criminals. And they're all broken up into their demographics. There's the, the Aryan Nation, and then there's the Muslim Brotherhood, and then there's the Hispanic dudes. And so it's just about like segregation in prison and how insanely violent it is, and how Tobias, who really is not built to handle it, becomes one of those guys because he has to survive. Unbelievable series. Did I just sell the hell out of that or what?
I mean, you pretty much did, yeah.
That's a 23-24-year-old series. You know who's in it? Lindsay Baseball?
No, who's in it?
From the sports world?
Hmm.
Former Laker champion, Rick Fox. That's right, George Sedano.
Oh, he's hot.
Oh,
he's
hot.
Good looking.
He should be
on
man
the people's sexiest man, yeah.
I know with that hair, though.
Yeah, he's... Sex in the City was mine.
Sex in the City is good. I actually still watch Sex in the City occasionally. Like every once in a while, if I'm like skipping around like on cable, it's on E every night. Mm-hmm. And occasionally I'll stop on a couple episodes. They're fantastic shows.
Gosh, E. I don't even know where E is. I haven't seen E.
I mean, you don't know anything anymore because you just talk to your remote.
Wait, hold on.
You know about Oz. You know
everything
about Oz.
E.
Why do you do it with that stupid voice though?
Oh, look, there's a commercial on right now for Luke Bryan and Peyton Manning are hosting the Country Music Awards.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hey, Cap,
on
speaking HBO shows, have you ever seen Euphoria?
I haven't seen Euphoria, no.
Oh, I haven't either, but I've heard great things.
It's my favorite show. I love
really?
It.
Really? I couldn't
probably
do
my favorite
it.
Show ever. What do you mean you couldn't do it? It's an amazing show.
There was an episode that I saw where, I don't know if it's the first one or the... My friend played it. She was at my apartment, and the Zendaya gets thrown into the bathroom or whatever, and the guy's like trying to telling her to take her clothes off. So I was like, oh yeah, can't do it. Triggering.
Yeah,
so you just gotta be worried about it, you know, people.
Cap, if you watch that, like, you will make sure that, like, not only would you have tracking on your daughter's phones, but like you'd be like, oh
here
no, you're done in college. Like, come back home.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, don't watch it then.
Yeah,
Euphoria. Don't watch
Euphoria.
Yeah, I know, I got to go back to Succession. Before I can go onto something new, I got to finish something old.
Yeah.
And
Succession is good. I haven't started it yet. I need to start that show.
Did you guys see Hacks?
No.
Mm-mm. That's a good one. It's really good.
It.
It's a good comedy on HBO.
Yeah. But HBO generally does really good work.
And then Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
Like one of my all-time faves.
Yeah.
I still can't bring myself to watch like the last four episodes of the last season because I don't want it to be over.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you end a series
well,
forever, and it makes you sad. Like you like lost a friend.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
but isn't it still on?
This is the last season.
Oh, I haven't seen.
They
like
just
any
did
of
the
stuff.
Season finale like I don't know a month ago maybe.
Yeah.
And so I have like four or five episodes that like I'm just like slowly watching them over time because then it's gonna be over forever.
Is Leon still in the show?
Yeah.
Okay, because Leon makes the show.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, no offense, Larry. I mean, I also like Susie, Jeff's wife.
Everyone on that show makes the show.
Yeah.
Like the four
Leon.
Main characters.
Nah, but
yeah,
Leon, when Leon showed up, it changed everything.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for the hurricane.
Yeah. So, Cappy.
Yeah.
you were speaking some nonsense about LeBron. I don't even remember what the hell you just said, but it was like you were just like going on, like you were reading poetry or something. Like, what were you saying?
I was freestyling, George, is what I was doing.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is this. If Kentavious Caldwell Pope is saying publicly that LeBron James doesn't have the spark, that it, and the way I heard it was,
yeah, like, and you heard effort when you heard spark, as opposed to like,
so much, no, it's not so much effort. It's just that it's just that he doesn't have, at least the way I'm receiving it from KCP, he doesn't have the desire to pursue a championship.
No, but why do you extrapolate that? Like, I don't even understand how you do that.
Well, because what am I supposed to? I mean, he's saying something and I'm receiving it. So I'm now giving feedback based on what I'm accepting.
Right, but again, you're using your own confirmation bias to like go down that path.
Well, what do you hear KCP saying? Because to me, he's
when
a
KCP
guy
says, okay, yeah, I'm going to read it one more time.
All right.
What he said about LeBron. Hold on, let me find it here real quick.
Okay.
Here
it's hard to watch.
Here it says, just watching the games, it just looks like there's no basketball over there. It's just playing pickup. It's hard to watch sometimes. So from me to him, just get that team together. I just want to see that spark in him again. I don't think I see the spark in Bron, so hopefully he can get it back.
Right.
And what I think he means, the enthusiasm, like that he feels like, you know, he's watching him and it's just like he's trying and then it's just like he realizes that this team is going to hit a brick wall and then he gets frustrated. It's just like whatever, you know. Kind of throws his hands up in the air.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a player who is pursuing a championship. And we've had this conversation a million times.
Wait, but how can you pursue a championship if you don't have the players around you to pursue said championship? You make it sound like literally LeBron can put on a cape and just say, hey, let's go. Get on my back, guys. I'm Superman. I'm going to fly in and fly out, and we're going to win every game.
Yes, that is the way I perceived LeBron.
Right,
now it's a little exaggerated.
But that is not real. Like, even in his prime of primes, like, he couldn't do that.
Yeah, but listen,
and by the way, nobody could do that. Like, even, you know, we could talk about Jordan all we want, but Jordan had Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and all these great teams that we saw. Obviously, now when you look at the documentary, you realize how loaded those teams were. Kukoc was the greatest player not in the U.S., like playing on that team, was the sixth freaking man.
Yeah, but what I hear from KCP is I don't see the fire. You use the word enthusiasm. I said esprit de corps. Yeah. I don't see a guy who's loving the game. I don't see a guy.
Sure, I would agree with that part of it, but that doesn't have to do with, what does that have to do with, I don't see a guy that can chase a championship. Like, where do you go from there to that?
Right, so I'm totally fine with that. I don't see LeBron who believes that he should be competing for a title. When LeBron James uniform.
No, what?
No,
I don't think I think he looks at his team and realizes we cannot compete for a title now.
And therefore,
right?
I'm not enjoying this.
Oh, sure, but
this
would you enjoy
fun
losing
for me? No, not at all. I would be sitting out. I'd be like, hey, you know what? Back to back, I'm not playing. So I hear what KCP is saying, but I also feel like if you're willing to say that out loud publicly, your relationship
with LeBron
is
ostracizing him now.
Oh, I don't know about now. I'm saying LeBron James probably be like, yeah, I got no time for him. You're like, hey, LeBron, KCP, can we talk for a second? No, I don't want to talk to you.
Unless he agrees with him.
I don't know if LeBron agrees.
How do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
But I don't know that guys like LeBron would ever believe that they're not who they were. That make any sense?
I think LeBron and this team and this franchise planned, we're going back to this again, on Anthony Davis being that guy to help them kind of like grow old gracefully, right? With like they got Anthony Davis under the auspices of, hey, he's going to help LeBron grow old gracefully. What we couldn't do for Kobe at the end, we're going to do for LeBron, and this is the guy that's going to do it. And then clearly, as we've discussed, it feels like a miscalculation. Not for one season it wasn't. He was the best player in the world. You know, in the bubble. And then after that, it's just not been the case for one reason or another.
Well, mostly for one reason, which is he can't stay healthy.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
And now, I wouldn't call Anthony Davis healthy. I'd say he's giving as much effort as he can, but His body.
Well, Anthony Davis is fighting through it. There's no doubt. I'm not taking that away from him.
And when we talk about why he's not effective in the second half and late in games,
yeah,
it's because the dude is like all beat up, and by the time he gets to the end of a game, like even more beat up than when he started the game. And listen, you talk about a miscalculation. You could have looked at Anthony Davis and said, what a talent he is physically, but what's inside of him? What's inside of his head? What's inside of his heart? Because just being physically gifted doesn't mean you hand off a team. You got to have the right personality to take on a team. And I just don't think he's got that personality. I hope he proves me wrong.
Yeah, I hope he proves me wrong too. All right, not Radio Tinder. Big deal or no deal? Same game, different name. Next. Thanks, Christopher. Take it away, Linz.
Thanks, Sedano. Thanks, Christopher.
Super excited.
Super, super excited to be doing Big Deal or No Deal. All right, so we've been talking a lot about Elon Musk and Twitter and this whole fiasco lately, right? Things are just getting weirder by the day. And apparently now, Elon Musk has considered putting the entire Twitter platform behind a paywall, according to a report from Platformer. Platformer said it's unclear how serious the plans might be and said such a move, if implemented, does not appear imminent, but it shows that Musk is exploring all kinds of ways to generate new revenue. So if Elon Musk does decide that Twitter will no longer be free, would that be a big deal for you guys?
It's a big deal. No one's paying. I mean, maybe there will be. I shouldn't say no one. But I'm not. Like, especially when I know Jack Dorsey's going to create something that's going to basically be a newer, better version of this that they got now. And my guess is that will be free. And I'll just migrate there. I'll just start going to Instagram more. Like, honestly, like I feel like I've gotten a good handle on how to kind of curate my Instagram in a way where I don't get as many trolls. I mean, occasionally they pop through, but you can kind of really limit that stuff on Instagram, I think, way better than on Twitter. So
yes, 100%.
So I feel like, as much as I don't love Zuckerberg, they've actually done a pretty good job of being able to kind of limit some of that stuff there, much more so than Twitter. So I if you want, come over now. At George Sedano ESPN. Jorge Sedano ESPN. That's my Instagram. Come hang out there, because that's where I'm going to start posting a lot more stuff.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago when I was on my boycott of the Circle of Trust, when I was in the Oval of Distrust, I tried using Instagram more, and I wondered, beyond just posting a picture or a video, what if I started to conversate in the comments section of Instagram? And kind of assumed the same thing you guys did, that it would be a much more civil conversation. And you know what? There's trolls and jerks over on Instagram too.
Oh no, of course, but you also are not good at like doing these type of things, like going into your settings and kind of figuring that stuff out.
You can turn comments off, you can filter out the comments, you can delete comments, you can restrict people to make them think that they're still like comments are showing up even though they're not.
But they're
like,
not. Right. Yeah, there's a lot more ways. Yeah.
I guess my point is that even though you guys think I'm the old guy, I'm the boomer because I'm still on Facebook, between Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn in particular, I use those and I feel like I'm still getting like my social media Jones, you know, I'm good. So I would never pay for Twitter.
I just think the only thing that would suck was we built this community, and if that goes away, we'd have to find another place to
TikTok.
House that community.
Not that hard
just
of a place.
Put it on TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, there's
you
other
can
places.
You can do a TikTok. You can do communities on TikTok?
I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
Well,
I'm sure we can do it.
Jack Dorsey has been talking a lot about how like Elon Musk is ruining some of the cooler features of Twitter, like the communities. And then there's the other thing that was called like the bird watch or watch bird. I don't know, something like that, that Elon Musk is just changing to notes. So he's claiming, I guess, on his new platform that he's going to like basically like redo Twitter. So, but it's going to be better.
I'll just say this though, guys. I wonder, tell me what you guys think. Do you think Elon Musk is just shooting from the hip?
Yes, like, 100%.
Okay. All right, I don't. I actually think Elon Musk probably has a very high-priced, like, crisis management sort of team.
Wait, but didn't, I mean, we just literally talked about how he fired a bunch of people on a Friday and had to rehire a bunch of them on a Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't sound like somebody who's super buttoned up.
No, it sort of feels to me in a weird way like it's all sort of a plan. Like, it's all sort of like, I'm playing chess, you're playing checkers, and I'm doing all of these things, and it's just creating tons and tons and tons of publicity. And then ultimately what I'm going to do is, I'm not really going to do very much. I just wanted everybody to keep paying attention and getting more engagement and getting more people on the platform. I don't know. I just feel like it's not just shooting from the hip and him, like, making hasty decisions. I feel like it's all kind of choreographed.
I think you're giving him way too much credit.
Maybe.
Like, I do not think that guy is that smart.
No, he's gotten himself way more bad.
Guy. Like, I think a lot of people initially...
Oh, no, wait, Cap. There's a difference between being intelligent and being smart. You know what I mean? Like, he's... Oh, no, there is. Okay, there is.
Explain it to me.
There's street smarts and then there's intelligence.
Yeah, exactly. He has a high intelligence quotient. I don't think there's any question about that. Like, based on what he's been able to create. However, you can also not be the smartest tool in the shed in regards to just the way you handle things.
Decision-making.
Like, he's made a ton of mistakes over the years. Like, that's not, like, something that... Now, he's been able to kind of overcome those mistakes because his most, I guess, let's call it most important invention in Tesla has kind of covered his ass in a lot of ways. But... Like, I don't think he's, like, super-duper smart. I just think he's really, really, like, intelligent. Like, intelligent in regards to the creation of stuff, but not smart in the way he handles his actual business affairs.
Well, all I'll say is this. I'm not a fan. I wouldn't buy a Tesla because I don't particularly like the guy. I just feel like there's something going on here that's not just him making hasty decisions. I feel like there's, like, this whole team of PR people going, let's do this. Now, you say that, but you don't know that.
I don't know it either.
I'm just giving you an opinion.
I've been reading a lot about this because, obviously, like, Twitter's a big part of what we do in the media. And, like,
I wish it wasn't, right?
There's this whole story from, like, I think it was Awful Announcing that did it, where it was about how much Twitter has changed sports media. Like, media, yes, but, like, sports media, really, really, if you, like, get down to the core of it, like, it has completely changed the way we do our jobs. It's changed the way people write, literally how we live our lives and do our jobs. So I feel like this is something that's important. I've read a lot about it, and I will just say that you can definitely be highly intelligent and severely lack common sense at the same time.
Well, I know what Mark Cuban said the other day, which is we think everybody's on Twitter, but not everybody is on Twitter.
And particularly the young people.
Right. He's right, the young people are not anywhere near Twitter.
Oh, and I told you when I did the college football seminar that our social media people back then in August were like, you really should start doing more TikTok and Instagram, to be honest with you.
Good advice.
Instagram is a much more, I feel like it's a much more place, like it's a better place for people to share positive news.
Well, you know? it's also just more easily curatable.
Right.
Curatable, yeah.
But I mean, I feel like people don't go on Instagram to, like, bitch about their lives and stuff like that so much as, you know, Twitter is just like a cesspool.
Well, it's always, and not always, I shouldn't say always. There was a time, you know, maybe 10 years ago where it wasn't so much of a cesspool, but it has become that over time, for sure.
Well, speaking of that exact thing, Gigi Haddad, this was my next radio Tinder, and we'll just, big deal or no deal, so we'll just get right into it. So, you know, she's a model, and she said recently that she officially deactivated her Twitter account over the weekend because she said this on Instagram because she said that Twitter wasn't a place she wanted to be any longer because it no longer seems like a safe place anymore. She said that it used to be great, but especially with its new leadership, it's more and more of a cesspool of hate and bigotry. And so she's one of many celebrities that are just kind of bailing on Twitter. So do you guys think the fact that now, like, celebrities and not just regular people are leaving in masses, is that a big deal?
Nah, not so much to me. I don't know. I think initially, I think to get stuff off the ground, I think that stuff matters. I think less so when it's already established.
Yeah, I don't think that a bunch of celebrities leaving Twitter are going to make, you know, the everyday person up and leave Twitter. But if you don't like Elon Musk and you don't like everything that's happening around the platform, then, you know, maybe now's the time to jump. Maybe now's the time to get out.
I recently, over the past, like, month or two, got, like, my Twitter anniversary. And I remember being so excited about Twitter because you had guys like Shaq on Twitter that would be like, oh, today I had French fries for lunch. And I was just like, that's cool that you have access to these guys and, like, in a way that you never did before. Whereas, you know, now you just kind of take that for granted. I don't know.
Let me ask you guys all this question real quick. What was the number that he paid for Twitter? Was
$44 billion.
Would you say you're rooting for Elon Musk and Twitter to succeed, like go beyond what they've already done? Or are you willing to say, you know, I'm kind of rooting against him. I hope this whole thing fails and he loses $44 billion.
No, I actually don't have a rooting interest, to be honest with you. I just, you know, I'm kind of trying to be a neutral observer to see what happens. I don't like to make hasty decisions like that. But I mean, I don't like him. I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan, but I think that the platform at one time was interesting and I think that it can remain that or become that again. if, you know, if there's some real innovation. But I don't think trying to recoup your $44 billion is the way to, right off the gate, right, is the way to do that. I will say this. Zuckerberg has a lot of poor traits as well, is what I would say. But I, you know, when you watch the, or you read the books or you watch the movie, the one line that always sticks with me is like, hey, don't put ads on it. Let people like it organically and those kind of things. And, you know, granted, ads are everywhere now. That's not what I'm referring to. But the payment for social media, I just think that there's always going to be someone that's going to be willing to do that stuff for free. And if you want to pay for some sort of social media, I mean, those are called dating apps. Like, you can do that. Like, there are plenty of places like that you can do that stuff and socialize by paying a fee or whatever. You know, like, I just don't think that the internet is that kind of place, like, where there's going to be people in droves doing that.
All right, I'm going to say it. It's not going to be popular. People won't like it, but I'll say it. I find myself rooting against him. I mean, you spend $44 billion, you know, and you're like, you know, this guy is so arrogant to think that he, who has been so vocal on this platform, he's so arrogant to think he's going to control the world with the platform that he owns and the reach that he now has. And so in a weird kind of way, like, I don't want to see an athlete get hurt, but if he's not playing because he's hurt and it's good for my team, okay, so be it. And I don't want anybody to root against me, you know, but in some weird way, I kind of am rooting against him.
Last thing on this really quick. I was excited at first when he was talking about buying it, but now I've, like, seeing everything transpire the way it has over the past few days, I kind of feel like he didn't want to buy it. Remember, he tried to back out and, like, they were going to go to court over it. And I kind of feel like now he's just like, well, you know what? F it. You guys made me buy this thing. So now I'm just going to burn it to the ground just because I can. That's kind of how I feel what he's doing.
I think we people in the Circle of Trust says we should go back to MySpace.
Oh, yeah. MySpace was great.
Wow.
It's actually
the
there.
Music, like, you can, yeah, profile.
It's more of a music thing, yeah, now, but you can go
top
there.
Top eight, guys. Remember? Top
Jimmy
eight.
Kimmel's on there.
I never was on there.
Oh, I was on there.
I can, yeah. I
MySpace was huge, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I never was on there.
Out of your demo, I think, Cappy, right?
Yeah, it was like for young people for sure at that time.
I mean, I think I was probably in my like mid-30s, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it was definitely like 20s and below.
Yeah.
You guys ever read, there's a couple of books about MySpace and what happened and how it all went down and how Rupert Murdoch was buying it and how the price shot up drastically and why it shot up. So you guys ever read any of that stuff?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, dude, it's fascinating how that all happened.
I'm sure there'll be a documentary on it someday, soon.
Probably already is.
I feel like I would have heard about it, but maybe you're right. I'll check it out.
All right, cool. That is Big Deal or No Deal each and every day right here on the show at 6:30 adjacent. Coming up next, Sean McVay.
Oh,
I feel like our
it.
Guy... what happened?
I thought you were going to say dealer's choice.
Why, do you want to do something?
I mean, I have something I'd like to talk about with you. But I'm okay. Happy to talk about McVay as well.
Well, let's do McVay and then dealer's choice.
Okay.
All right. That's next.
This is one of these songs, though. When it comes on, I'll probably turn it.
Yeah, for like a few minutes. Yeah.
I mean, I used to jam out to this song when I'm like 13 years old and I've got a drum set in my room and I'm jamming. This was one of my songs.
Do you watch Hell's Kitchen? Gordon Ramsay, whose birthday was today?
No, I do not.
Hmm. Does Gordon Happy Ramsay birthday. Follow you on Twitter? He follows like 33,000 people.
I don't know. I don't think so. Probably not. We don't have any interaction. Guy Fieri, different story.
Guy Fieri follows you?
I don't know if that's true or not.
Oh. Go check.
What? How do I do that?
Just type in the search, Gordon Ramsay.
Okay.
On Twitter.
Does he follow you?
He does.
Yeah.
But I'm curious because he follows 33,000 people. It's not like he doesn't follow just a few people, you know?
Is he a big fan of your work on Around the Horn?
Maybe he is. Who the hell knows? You'd be surprised how many people are big fans of my work on Around the Horn.
I guess I would be. Here's Gordon Ramsay. Let's see here. Always near food. I'm going to follow him.
There you go. If you follow him, maybe he'll follow you back.
Maybe. I don't follow him.
I mean, then, you know, I mean, Elon's going to ruin all of it for us, so it doesn't really matter. But.
Oh, well. Next platform, please.
Have you guys heard of Be Real? I know that's the one that's trending right now.
Be Real, like the rapper?
Oh, no, Be Real. Be Real, the platform.
Yeah,
I've heard of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Are you guys on it?
But it's like a weird thing.
It is, right? I kind of looked into it. I'm like,
It's like everybody, it just gives you like a random notification and it wants you to like take a picture of exactly what you're doing at that exact moment.
So weird. I was like, I don't like that. I don't know if I'm like, people are like, you should do it. I'm like, Yeah, no, I'm good.
I'm out. I think I'm out on new platforms. I think I'm good with what I've got. Instagram, LinkedIn. I don't really use TikTok that much, but maybe I'll get into it more.
We should.
Facebook is fine. I'm fine with Facebook. I got no problem with Facebook. So between Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok, I'm good. I'm good.
No, I'd add the Dorsey one if he starts a new one.
And why? Is it because you like Dorsey or you're loyal to Dorsey or you think Dorsey's brilliant for some reason? I mean, I'm just
curious.
I like
Dorsey. I think he's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Jack. At Jack.
Mm-hmm. I don't love him either. And I'm not really sure why.
Jack Dorsey?
Yeah.
What do you even know about him?
Not much. I mean, just, you know, I do know that, like, I've seen some of these interviews where he's like, yeah, I didn't really come up with a lot of this stuff. A lot of this stuff just kind of happened with users.
Yeah.
So I know he gets a lot of credit, but he himself is like, I didn't come up with a hashtag. I didn't come up with that.
No, right. The users did that. Yeah. But that's, I think, also kind of the smart part is he let the audience also kind of curate some of this stuff for him.
Mm.
It's kind of like what we do in the Circle of Trust.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of curators in there. I'll tell you that right now.
There you go.
I've heard that Jack Dorsey is like the opposite of Elon Musk when it comes to being generous. Like, he's an extremely, extremely generous person. Like, when he goes out to eat and stuff, some of my friends that have waited on him, like, he gives, like, huge tips, like tens of thousands of dollars of tips.
Tens of thousands of dollars
yes.
of tips?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very nice.
I mean, look, if you would have won the billions, you know, at the Powerball. By the way, shout out to Altadena.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I saw
Grant. Why are you mm-hmming, Laura?
I mean,
because me and Cappy were so wrong.
Right, you said theory. It was going to be.
Got to go to the hood.
Altadena is a nice neighborhood. Yeah.
It is.
I know, and I saw Grant in L.A. who put my picture on an Altadena milk bottle. You know, like they were looking for me.
That is funny.
After I won. Hey, so here's the one thing about the Powerball, and actually, this is exactly what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay. So go ahead. Real quick, we'll get to Sean McVay after. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen. So here's the thing. So I went to the store. I went to this liquor store the other day to fill out tickets because I've been letting the computer pick my tickets. And I haven't come close to winning ever. I mean, I've not even had any of the numbers. So I decided to hand fill out the whole thing, right? Now, when you fill out your first five numbers on the Powerball, then you pick the Powerball number, the power number, right? Did you know that the power number might actually be the same as one of the original five numbers across the line? Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay, so schmuck over here, right? Moron. Right. I had this one ticket I really liked. The numbers were 9, 10, 17, 23, and 52.
Yeah.
And I was going to do the power number as 10 because I was like, I don't know why, but for some reason I want to go 10 again. But then I was like, no, you can't have 10 twice. Do you know that 10 was the Powerball number?
Yes, I do know that.
Now, I'm not saying I was going to win, but at least I would have had the power number had I known the rules of the game. Now I'm $60 into this lottery.
It's self-explanatory when you fill the ticket out. It shows you which numbers you can choose. If you couldn't choose those other numbers, they would black them out.
Correct.
No, I just thought that if I chose 10 in the first five numbers, I couldn't choose 10 for the power number. I don't know why.
If it's available to you.
It's a red ball. They're completely different balls.
Yeah. Well, see, I thought it was the same balls. I thought once 10 was already taken, I didn't know there was a 10 on offense and a 10 on defense.
Yeah, in fact.
It's like college rules.
Yeah. Right.
The first one that was
almost
a billion was also a double. Like the one of the numbers was the same as the Powerball. Yeah.
Double balls on the first one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now double balls last night.
I think it was 23 even. Might have been.
Yeah, Michael Jordan. And the
Or LeBron.
Well, not anymore, but
ooh.
No, he's 23 again.
No, LeBron is 6.
I thought he went back to 23 because AD is 6 now.
No. AD's 3.
Okay.
That was the original story they were going to do, and then LeBron, and then AD never changed to 23. He just stuck with 3.
He was busy rehabbing. He didn't have time to go deal with the equipment.
And LeBron just went with 6, with LB6.
Okay, maybe he should go back to 23.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. So anyway.
Powerball, congratulations
to
your store.
That's your fault.
Yeah, congratulations to the store in Altadena that sold this ticket, because Altadena, what do you think it is, 10, 15, 20 miles north of LA, right?
Yeah, it's just east of Pasadena.
Yeah, I was driving
or west,
through Altadena.
West of Pasadena.
This past summer when I was driving from Mammoth down to the studios, and I was driving through, I was like, Altadena, wow, all right, nice town. I'm like, I only knew you guys from the milk. You know, I didn't really know you guys were here.
Yeah. So yeah, you didn't think it was like a real town?
I just thought it was like a farm.
Yeah. No, it's a real town.
Yeah, way to go, Altadena. Congratulations. Yeah.
It's
sold
right by,
the ticket.
You know, right off the 210, you know?
Everybody who said that, you know, the ticket's not going to be one in California, it's going to be one in some random little state in some little tiny shack of a convenience store. No. No, right here, just north of LA.
Yeah, right off the 210 there, hanging out just near La Cañada Flint Ridge in between there and Pasadena. Yeah. I actually know somebody who lives in Altadena.
Oh, really?
I'm looking to reach out to them and just be like, hey, did you win or what?
Are they in the milk business?
Yeah. They're not in the milk business.
Wilbert, who works here, lives, he said, like, across from that gas station. I was
no way.
Did you buy a ticket? And he goes, damn it, no. I'm like, bro, you missed out.
Maybe someone in his family did.
Well, he actually put it on his Instagram. He's like, yo, fam, anybody win? I'm like, ain't nobody going to tell you. I wouldn't tell you.
Who's the guy who you said
Wilbur.
Works
here? Wilbur Flores works here.
Don't know him.
Okay. Yeah. He works at Laker games.
Don't know him.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah. Oh, Cappy, hey. You ever been to Altadena?
Well, only drove through. Have never stopped in.
You didn't stop is my point.
No, I didn't stop for any milk.
Yeah.
You
know what? I miss Pasadena. Like, yeah. I haven't lived there in a long time, but I used to like going to Old Town, having drinks.
Yeah.
Old Town's nice. Old Town's very nice. Maybe one day we'll go to Santa Anita. Maybe we'll go to the racetrack up that
Let's do that. Yeah. Let's do that. Laura, should we be done here?
Yeah, you guys have like 3 seconds.
Oh, damn. All right, Cappy, good job. Laura, good job. Lindsay, good job. Everybody, we'll see you mañana. Don't forget Bastards on Thursday.